It's 28-11. We're going to see what's happening on the pace. The man who's got his finger right on the sulky is Greg Hayes. Morning, Hazy.
Good morning to you, Cozzy. There is a fair bit going on down in Victoria, obviously New South Wales as well, with the Carnival of Cups in full swing. We're going to talk a little bit about that today. We're going to talk about Victoria as well, as I mentioned. There are a number of Group 1s down there this weekend. We had the Ballarat Cup last weekend. The Victoria Derby is the feature race, the Great Southern Star as well. There's a little bit of New South Wales interest in both of those. We're going to be talking about the Victoria Derby first up on the show. We'll catch up with Lauren Tritton this morning. She'll be driving Muscle Factory on Saturday night. Of course, ran second in the heats. The barrier draws have just been conducted for the Vic Derby, the Great Southern Star, the Ladyship Cup. New South Wales has runners in all three races. If you missed the Vic Derby draw, here it is. Demon Delight, the Emergency's drawn one. War Dan Delight's drawn two. Arg has drawn barrier three. A Perfect Major's drawn four. I'm Another Masterpiece in five. Muscle Factory in six. Max Delight in seven. So basically the gate speed's all out wide there. Pete's Big Jim, the second of the Tritton runners, has drawn inside second row. You've got the in barrier number nine. Hurricane Harley is in barrier nine. Lochinvar Art in 10, Hard Hitter 11, Malcolm's Rhythm 12, Crime Rider is in barrier 13. So that's the barrier draw for the Victoria Derby that has just been conducted at the offices of HRV. So not too bad. I wouldn't think the Team Tritton would be overly worried or overly disappointed with that. We'll catch up with Lauren in just a moment to have a chat with her as to what she thought of the draw. Great Southern Star, that draw has just been conducted. I think Ricky Alchin would be okay with this, or he'd be happy with this. Tough Monarch's drawn barrier one. The only little concern, Tornado Valley has drawn barrier two. Markula's drawn three. Does Tough Monarch have the speed to hold Tornado Valley's back? Markula's drawn three. Sky Petite's drawn four. Pizza Queen five. Amaretto Sun, the Emergency's drawn six. Speeding Spurs drawn seven. Save Our Pennies has drawn eight. Red Hot Truth nine. Kai Valley Blur 10. Big Jack Hammer 11. Temporale has drawn 11. Dance Craze has drawn 12. And the Ladyship Cup, unfortunately for New South Wales, we did get a runner in the race. Jared Alchin got his mare in, which was good news. I'm a mystery girl, but she drew six. So she's drawn wide in that race. But we're going to catch up with Lauren Tritton first up on the show. And news that Muscle Factory has come up with barrier six, but we'll start from five if the Emergency doesn't get a run. And I would think that Team Tritton would be pretty happy with that. Lauren joining me on the show. Morning, Lauren.
Hey, Hazy.
Barrier five, if the Emergency doesn't get a run, you happy?
Yeah, we're wrapped. Both horses, actually, they've drawn accordingly. You know, it's good barrier for us, and the horses on the back line that have got some really good speed, which helps us as well. So we're really happy with that.
What did you make of his run on Saturday night at Ballarat? The step up in trip, obviously he was super running that record time when he broke the 150, becoming the first 3-year-old to do that. What did you make of his run on Saturday night? Oh, we've lost her. That's all right. We'll see if we can get her up again. So we've just lost Lauren there, unfortunately. Been a while since we've had Lauren on the show. We'll see if we can get her back up again. It was interesting just having a chat. There's obviously a difference in the style of racing between Menangle and any other track in Australia. There's no doubt. And mile racing to distance racing. But I thought the horse relaxed really well. And there's always a big question mark when you go to try and go from running flat out to running a bit of a trip. But the horse seemed to relax for Lauren really well on Saturday night. Lauren, it's run on Saturday night. Were you impressed with the horse's performance?
Yeah, look, you know, Muscles was just a bit stargazed. You know, that sort of caught us both off guard. We were just looking for an easy quarter, and then we just went from 0 to 100. And Muscles, like we said the whole time, we've spent the whole career with Muscles with a handbrake on. So we didn't really expect that, and neither did he. And he spent the whole straight pricking his ears and carrying on. So, you know, this week he'll be much more switched on. And after his 49 mile, it was probably a little bit of our fault as well. You know, we were a little bit light on him, and the run did him good. He blew up a bit, so you know he'll be spot on for next week.
It's interesting you say that, because he seemed to spin his wheels a bit, because you know, I'm Another Masterpiece got past him pretty quickly, and then all of a sudden on the line he was, if anything, not only holding his own but sort of coming back at I'm Another Masterpiece.
Yeah, look, you know, running those quarters, I've never seen a horse prick his ears so much, you know, and he even put in a rough one there. We were going from so slow to so fast, so it just caught him off guard. And you know, it's a new track and there was lots of things to look at, so you know, it's just a baby thing, and he'll come past that.
So back to aggressive. Are we going to see those aggressive tactics that we saw at Menangle in the Simpson Memorial? You know, very fast out of the gate, run those blistering times. Obviously, it was a heat on Saturday night. This is a final. This is a grand final, if you like.
Well, look, Shane and I haven't really spoken much about it. I got a message was saying how good, but you know, it's a barrier that you got to use, and I've, like I said last week, I've got the horse underneath me. I know he can do it. He's fast. He's got lots of gate speed, and you know, it's one of those things. I think we're going to have to play by ear at the start. But looking at the barrier draw at the moment, I think that is the key. And you know, we know how good he is and know how fast he is. So whether we be in front or outside him, I know he'll do his best.
I know it's interesting looking back over the years that you guys have had some very talented horses. Probably you guys have always had proven aged performers. Not a lot of, you know, obviously you've won some really good young races, you know, the Gold Crowns and Tiaras and everything like that. But all of a sudden you've got this very, very talented juvenile. Is he untapped? Could he be just something right out of the box? You still there? Might have lost her again.
You there? I can
yep.
hear you now.
Yep.
Yeah. Sorry. Sorry.
Hazel. Yeah. Is he? Could he be just something right out of the box, this bloke?
Yeah. Look, from the day Shane's laid eyes on him, he wanted him right or wrong. You know, he just knew he had that raw ability, and to buy a horse that had no race manners was just a risk. But he's done such an amazing job with him, and look, what he did last week at Menangle was just insane. Like, I've got free for all horses that can't do that. So, you know, he's something special. And, you know, every time I drive him, he just gives you an amazing feeling. And, you know, this Derby is right up his alley. And not only that, he's New South Wales bred. So, you know, he's in those races where we've had a lot of good 2-year-olds in the past that have been really good but never paid up for anything. So we never got a chance to show, you know, how good our 2-year-olds were. But this year, it's just, you know, we're able to put these horses in these races, and it's great.
What about Pete's Big Jim? The stable's obviously pretty happy with him as well.
Yeah, last week his performance was great. You know, I was really happy with him. He got out late in flash time, and I think if he got out any earlier, he would have actually won the race. But we're really happy with that. He's got a really good draw. He's going to get a really good run. And, you know, he's another one that, you know, he's really good. He's a total different horse to Muscles, but you know, even what he did, he came in a 49 mile, and he wasn't 100% right that night. And you know, he did his best, and we were super happy with him.
And any decision from the stable on who gets the drive?
Not yet. I haven't spoken to Pete, but I'm sure probably Josh Anthony stuck with him before. But you know, that'll be totally Pete's decision.
All right. All the best of luck on Saturday night. It's obviously a good draw. I'm Another Masterpiece. The horse that beat you in the heat is probably the main danger, but it should be a cracking Derby final. Good luck.
Yeah, of course. Thank you.
There she is, Lauren Tritton. She'll be behind Muscle Factory on Saturday night. It will be a very interesting race. Looking forward to the rest of the show. We've got number of guests to get through this morning. Going to catch up with John Domazy in just a moment to have a chat to him about the four Group 1s they've announced coming up in New South Wales from 2020 in New South Wales coming up. They're brand new races. They're going to be run at Wagga every year. So we'll talk about those. We're also going to have a chat to Andy Gath this morning about Tornado Valley with a Great Southern Star. We don't normally do too much interstate stuff, but I thought we'd catch up with Andy Gath this morning. And I also want to speak quickly with Jackie Ingham. How's this? She'd had 170 drives, hadn't driven a winner, young Jackie. She drove a first one at 171. And then to make it even better, she went win two at 172. So I thought we'd get Jackie on the show and have a chat to her about her career, how she got into the sport. And she's making a fist of it. She's doubled up. She went win one, then win two, and picked up her second winner on Friday night at Bathurst. John Dummersy, he is the chief executive of Harness Racing New South Wales. Massive announcement last week with the announcement that we would have four new Group 1 races in New South Wales from 2020. And John Dummersy is joining me to have a chat on the show. Morning, John.
Morning, Greg.
Very exciting news for participants in the state.
Well, it certainly is. To create these races takes a little bit of thinking, of course, in the first place. And then it needs the even deeper thoughts of how we sustain them. And through the efforts of the board, looking at the grassroots in the first place, and we know of that 20% increase in the base prize money, which was announced last year, and other initiatives such as the mares races, which are really paying off for those trainers and owners that have mares. This is just another cog in the wheel. And of course, we didn't miss the Newcastle Mile and the $1 million Miracle Mile either.
So where has this been in the pipeline for a while, these thoughts, the planning for these races?
I certainly have. It's about when you make announcements, but it's also about the planning. And this one goes back probably, I think, Rod Smith first came up with the idea when we were really looking at moving with the Riverina Paceway at Wagga with the building of that complex, and it's been a long time in the making as well. So as we get to where we can see the opening day, which is 12 months ago to when we were looking at this, we started planning, and we threw quite a few ideas around, and it was about joining the state together. And we joined the state through with this race. If you're sustained for the Bathurst Gold Crown, for example, it's one of the eligibility clauses. We're New South Wales centric, so you've got to be New South Wales Breeders' Challenge eligible as well in the first instance. So it's those two things joined together creates what will be a fantastic carnival at in Wagga at Riverina Paceway.
So it's basically a mini Inter-Dominion series, if you like, because it'll be two heats, a final. It'll be for 30 horses. It'll be for two age categories, a four-year-old, five-year-old, but it'll be for males and females, and they'll be $100,000 finals.
Yes, you've hit it on the head there. Well and truly, it's a mini Inter-Dominion carnival, and it's about taking people to Riverina, showing them what a magnificent complex we've built and established down there, and it is for the Riverina. But they're those races. They're Group 1s. They're 100,000. So we're the only sport that across the nation that can put Group 1 racing into all its regions. We've got the Hunter with, of course, the Newcastle Mile, Western Districts with the Bathurst Gold Crown, such a successful carnival there. And now we've got, of course, the Riverina. Sydney's well and truly catered for, and it has been for decades through Harold Park and now Tabcorp Park Menangle.
What are these races going to be called?
That's a good question, and we're just saving that one up for our next announcement. Or announcement in the not too distant future. So that'll be about once again joining or combining the industry in what we do going forward.
All right. And currently, I know you've been travelling around the state to discuss a new grading system.
Yeah, rating system. Now this is, it must be quite clear on this, is the national system. Yes, Rod Smith, as the Deputy Chairman of Harness Racing Australia, in company with Cameron Brown, the Operations Officer of Harness Racing Australia, have been actually presenting around the state. I've been there, of course, as the HRNSW representative to hear and feel what participants have to say about this rating system. It will move into Victoria in February, where there'll be information sessions there, and of course the other states before it returns to where we are with it, and see what we can, what we've got. It's a very in my personal opinion, a very good system, but we'll see what the participants, the stakeholders have to say.
Couple of questions without notice. Firstly, the heat policy. Obviously, we've had some very, very hot days in New South Wales, and there are some very hot days coming up in New South Wales. Where are we situated with that, and how are horses and also participants covered in terms of heat when it does get too hot?
Well, Greg, as you know, we've got a very well-established heat policy, which is well thought out and reviewed at all times. But at this present time, it's unprecedented heat that we're experiencing. Every morning, we have a session in here in Harness Racing New South Wales with our regulatory vet, Martin Wayne Scott, and our stewards and our integrity manager, Michael Prentice. And we look at that day, the next day, the day after, and only now we've just looked at what we're going to experience over Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday and Tuesday in the coming days. And it is expected that the temperature will spike quite severely on a couple of those days, drop and then go back up again. So we work with the clubs. We certainly work with the participants. We all take numerous calls from trainers expressing where they sit with this, with the heat, and how we can best manage it. But yeah, it's we'll make decisions. And I really urge trainers to be observant to the text messages that we send out to them. They're not sent out for the sake of just passing on information. They're there for a reason, and we will continue to do that with the heat policy, as we do with other matters in harness racing in New South Wales.
Now, I don't know whether you get on Twitter a lot and watch what's being said, but yesterday I tweeted out what was on my show, and a few people saw that you were going to be on my show, and they tweeted responses, and they wanted me to ask you a question. Now, I don't want to get you offside by asking this question, so don't get too cranky with me, okay?
I would never get cranky with you, Greg, and everybody's entitled to ask the question. There is always an answer. Whether it's a satisfactory answer,
okay,
is the issue.
All right. A few professional punters want to know about minimum bet limits in New South Wales.
Now, that's interesting. You would have noticed, and probably they did too, there was a report or a news report released by the anti-gambling lobby overnight. The head of that group, Tim Costello, had quite a few words to say about minimum bet policies and other aspects of anti-gambling. Now, we're in the gaming gambling business, so we certainly don't see eye to eye with the anti-gambling group. But minimum bet in New South Wales is for harness racing is a position that we see won't be introduced at this time. But when I say at this time, anything is open to change, and if anyone that doesn't want to change. So we will keep monitoring that. We will talk with the corporate operators with regard to minimum bets, and we'll take it forward as we see fit. But to make it quite clear, at this stage, no minimum bet policy will be introduced in New South Wales harness racing.
All right, John, thank you very much for joining me this morning, and catch up with you again soon.
Thanks, Greg.
There is John Dumazy, the Chief Executive of Harness Racing New South Wales, joining me this morning to have a chat about what's happening in the state. Now, later on today, I'm heading up to the Hunter Valley to catch up with Roy Roots Jr. We're going to go up there and catch up with him for a story for In the Gig. In the Gig comes back in a couple of weeks' time, so we're going to catch up with Roy Roots, do a story on him for In the Gig, which will be good. We're also going to go up and do a story on the Newcastle Mile. Of course, that's only a couple of weeks away, so we're out and about to do a story for the show, and looking forward to doing that. But we've still got a couple of guests to get to before the end of the before this wraps up. Don't forget, they're back at Menangle this Saturday night. There are 10 races. Huge. Interesting to see Chase Auckland going around in an MO. Having a chat to a couple of boys last night. A couple of participants. They could remain nameless. I think they are a bit dirty that Chase Auckland gets to go around in an MO. Probably as dirty as the participants who had to take on Spankham in a C3 on Saturday night. But look, probably why they're looking at this new rating system for not only New South Wales, for basically Australia wide, and having a chat. It looks as though this new rating system will go everywhere bar WA. WA are basically going to go their own way. But it looks as though Queensland, New South Wales, Victoria, big chance, South Australia, Tassie, all jump on the same bandwagon. WA could go their own way. But we're going to have a chat with Jackie Ingham now. Fantastic story, this. Look, I must admit, in my previous job, when I was at Harness Racing New South Wales, I had a bit to do with Jackie when she was doing a little bit for Parks, and very, very affable, and she's always there to help, always willing to lend a hand, and great to see her finally win a couple of races. She's been driving and training a couple, and finally broke through for her first win, and not only did she do that, but she doubled up very quickly when she won another race at Bathurst on Friday night, and she's joining me on the show to have a chat. Morning, Jackie.
Hi, Greg. How are you?
Really, really well. Congratulations, finally breaking through for that first win. That must have been a great big thrill for you.
Yeah, no, it was fantastic. Absolutely wonderful.
Well, take us through that first win, because you're obviously able to lead and win. What were you feeling when you turned for home and you were still in front?
Oh, it was wonderful. I was sort of sitting there. She got a little bit lazy coming around on the turn, and as soon as Nathan sort of jumped off our back, she picked the bit up and off she went again.
Did you think you were going to hold on for that first win?
Oh, I was hopeful, very hopeful.
And what about when she hit the line? What were your initial feelings?
Oh, it was. I was very, very happy, very proud, and at the same time, it sort of took a little minute for it to sink in that I'd actually got it this time after coming so close at Dubbo, getting second.
And was any family on track there to help you celebrate?
Yeah, actually, my grandparents, my father Lex, and my grandma Rhonda, and my sister and my mother were there. So it was very exciting. Everyone was cheering and crying, and it was wonderful.
That must have been very special, because I obviously that's how you've got your start in the game, having your family all around you. So that must have been very special to have them there.
Yeah, it was wonderful. It made it even better.
So you've obviously won your first race, and that was all great, and you got to celebrate that and enjoy that. And then all of a sudden, Rose Upon Her not only gives you that first winning feeling, but then does it again by winning again last Friday night at Bathurst, which made it even better.
Yeah, it sure did. It was absolutely wonderful.
So take us through that win.
Oh, it was great. We got the leaders back, got a sort of a soft run through, and came round onto the front straight and got into the open, and off she went.
You had the choice to go back to the sprint lane or to come to the outside. You made the decision to come to the outside. She was obviously travelling well, and once you got her to the outside, she really let down well.
Yeah, she did. We're sort of waiting for the sprint lane to come up, and the open came quicker, and she felt really good, so I thought, well, there's no time like the present, and took her off the leaders back to the right hand side, and she sprinted great.
Was the winning feeling as good the second time around?
It sure was.
It sure was.
It was.
Michael Brown's been a great supporter of yours, hasn't he?
Yeah, he has. Michael actually brought this filly at the APG sale in Sydney, and gave her to me to train, and gave me half ownership along with his daughter Sharon, and you know, I can't thank him enough for the opportunity.
So tell us a little bit about how you got involved in the sport, Jackie.
Through my grandfather Lex. He got involved mainly as an owner years ago now, and he got in and had a go as a trainer, and that's how I got in through him, and been doing it together.
And after driving, I went back and had a look at your stats, and it was 170 until you drove your first winner. So at 171, you picked up your first win, and then 172, you got your second. And when you had been so close and you couldn't get that first win, did it feel like it was never going to come?
Yeah, it did at one stage. You know, it sort of, a few times there, you sort of sit and think, oh, should we keep going? Well, why not? Don't give up. You love the sport. You love the people that are in it. And I finally ticked it off and got two in a row.
Yeah, exactly right. So what happens now with Rose upon her? Have you got something else in line?
Yeah, sort of just looking around at a couple of races, waiting for the Menengal races to come up again, the Country Series, and also having a look. Wagga Track's opening in March, and they've got some heats up at Dubbo for some feature races on their opening day on the 10th of March, so we're just looking at that at the moment too.
All right. Well, that's they all look like good targets. Congratulations with your first couple of winners, and we wish you all the best of luck in the future.
Thank you very much.
There she is, Jackie Ingham. Congratulations with those two winners in succession, and well done to her. We're going to catch up with Andy Gath before we wrap up the show. Don't forget, a massive weekend. In fact, it's going to be a massive 6 weeks coming up of harness racing. This weekend, Vic Derby, it is the Great Southern Star, and then we've got a mare's feature race coming up at Menangle. And because there wasn't that huge prize money during the Inter-Dominion Series, you've basically got Jason Grimson's mare getting into the Village Witch, getting into that mare's race on Saturday night, and she has been pitchforked in. She'll win. She'll start a very short price favourite at Menangle in the feature race there. That's the feature race on Saturday night in Sydney. But I want to catch up with Andy Gath, Tornado Valley. Andy Gath would be extremely happy after the barrier draw this morning because the Tornado has drawn barrier number 2. Good morning, Andy.
Yeah, good morning, Greg.
Mate, perfect draw for you.
Yeah, obviously he's been fortunate. He's been able to draw off the front row, mainly sort of higher up off the front row draw, but any front row draw is pretty good for him.
Everything has gone to plan since his last victory?
Yeah, no, I've been really happy with him. We're going to trial him this afternoon at Balton, just to sort of keep him ticking over. It's going to be 3 runs in between, 3 weeks in between runs, so we thought we'd just give him a nice trial today and should top him off for Saturday.
What sort of horse is he? Does he need that sort of work? Is he a horse that that needs to be kept, kept sort of solid, kept the work, or needs the work kept up to him?
Yeah, probably does. You can sort of back off on him after he won at Bendigo. We jogged him for 10 days. And so, we do work him pretty solid the week leading up into any race. He, high class horse, and they can sort of take it a fair bit. So, yeah, he does need a fair bit of work, leading into these big races.
Have you worked out what your plans are after this?
No, not really. Just one race at a time. We really, we all know that Sweden is an option for us, but, we've still got the Grand Prix after this race and a couple other sort of nice races as well, but once they're all done and dusted, we'll sit down with the owner and, work out a plan whether we head over there or not. But obviously, we've got a big race this week. That won't be easy. We've got to get over first.
What about your main dangers on Saturday night? You'd have to say there's more depth on Saturday night than there was in the Inter-Dominion final?
Oh, no, definitely. We all know how good Mark Haller is. I'm probably his number one fan. I've seen him, win over there when I've been over there. He's such a great horse. He's got terrific speed. He's got strength. He's a quality horse. And, we've got utmost respect for him. We're probably fortunate we've got the, barrier draw advantage over him, but still, he's the type of horse I don't think he can overcome bad draws. Tough one. I can save our penny's been drawn on the fence. If it's a truly run race, they're going to get the opportunity to hit the line strong. And, obviously you can never discount Spreading Spur. He's gone wide. He's such a quality horse. Multiple Group 1 winner, won over $1 million. So, it's a strong race.
What distance do you believe is the best for your horse?
Yeah, probably middle distance. I think he's, 2200. He's probably, really good at saying that. He's won over the short. He's won over the long.
Yeah.
He just adapts to everything. But, you don't really know until you sort of, it all gets down to tempo related, I suppose. You get in the short race, burn really hard early, and get brought undone, and, you know, same with long races as well. If the tempo's sort of hard mid-race, you can come undone as well. So he just sort of adapts to whatever, you know, there is on the night.
Is he highly strung around the stables?
No, he's pretty good. 90% of the time he's pretty good, and then every now and then a switch goes off in his head and he can go a little bit stupid.
Yep.
A bit like when he's travelling as well. He can be absolutely perfect, and all of a sudden, a little switch goes off in his head. He can carry on a fair bit, but generally speaking, he's a really nice horse to do anything with. Nothing nasty about him. He's a lovely, kind horse and everything, but yeah, most times he's an angel.
Is there any chance we could see you here Miracle Mile Night for the Trotters race?
Yeah, no, definitely. Obviously, you know, any chance we get it to run over a mile, you know, gives us more information whether we should go to Sweden or not. So, yeah, obviously, you know, it's penciled in anyway. We're aware of it and, you know, we're keen to go. And obviously, he's not the greatest traveller, but if we're going to go to the other side of the world, you know, we've got to do a trip up the highway anyway to see if he can handle that.
Yeah. All right, mate. Well, good luck on Saturday night. From barrier number two, he does look very hard to beat. Jason Bonington says he's going to go up as short as $1.20. So all the best of luck.
That's ludicrous.
All the best of luck.
Thanks a lot.
There he is, Andy Gath, the trainer of Tornado Valley. Cozzy, that wraps up the show for another Tuesday. I'll be back next Tuesday, and this time next week we will be talking Hunter Cup. So it just keeps getting bigger and bigger as we get towards the Miracle Mile, which is now, 6 weeks away?
Fantastic. Look forward to it, Greg. We'll catch you then.
Thanks, mate.